One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Welcome to Expanded Perspectives. I'm your host, Kyle Filson, and sitting to my immediate left is no one. That's right, I'm here in Skeleton Studios by myself, but that's okay. That's all right. We're going to still get through today's show just fine. Cam and his wife had to go down to Austin for a couple days for business, and so I'm here at the studio with just Mary, but she's in the background doing things, you know, checking emails and tech support and or whatever it is she does to help us out. But yeah, man, it's a beautiful day here in North Texas. There's been some storms coming through, but that's typical for this time of year. We do live in Tornado Alley. I saw there was a tornado just a couple hours ago, but we're fine. My garden's doing good. It's growing. I hope that the storms don't get too bad, because I'd really start to be depressed and cry if my garden was somehow damaged. I cannot wait to eat the fruit of my labor. I hope everybody out there is having a good day. I'm not here alone. I'm going to have some listeners that are going to help me with the show today. Now, they're not going to be here physically. They'll be here in spirit, because we got a lot of people that have been sending in their sightings, and I love it. So let's get it started. This first story comes from a guy named James, and he has a pretty crazy story about a giant owl. Let's take a listen.
Hi, this is James Fakey from Northwest Indiana. I listened to your Owlman episode not too long ago and felt like I kind of fit into that with an experience there. And it's pretty long and detailed, because I got a really good, I left a message too, just saying that I got a really good close view of this owl. And it wasn't human and owl, it was just big, but owls, I've never seen an owl bigger than a foot until this day. And it was another kid that said that he's seen, I think it was like 4 years before this even happened, that he's seen a 3 or 4 foot one. And we gave this guy hell or whatever, because we just figured he was lying. And then I end up seeing one that was easily 7 foot plus. And I know if owls existed that were that big in our world, that there would probably be a documented science typically or whatever, but it's pretty long, so I don't know if I can, or if this thing's going to cut off, but I guess I'll tell you what happened. Back in 2004, this other guy said he'd seen one in this little strip of woods off of a few dead-end roads in a very, not very populated town or whatever, and I probably gave the guy the worst out of it and told him owls don't and exist that big. And he actually even showed me when he came by the next time we seen him where it happened or whatever, and I was giving him the benefit of doubt of maybe there was something left as a trace, like a claw mark or something on the ground, I guess. And after he took us out there and showed us or whatever, I was just like, man, how far is this kid gonna go with this lie? And yeah, I just figured he was lying. I even asked my buddy, because I wasn't really good friends with this guy, and I was like, hey, is something going on? Is it like something that this kid would make up this lie about? Could he like being abused or something? He's like, I have no idea. So I'm not a bully, but I don't like liars. So I guess I gave him hell about this don't exist, because I grew up down the street from where this all happened in Cedar Lake, Indiana. And I just wasn't willing to, I mean, I guess seeing is believing. I don't expect anybody else that would hear this to believe it, because it's just not something that you believe. Like, seeing is believing, literally, because that's what it took. Even though I know this guy, you got people saying they see Sasquatch and Dogman and all that, and I don't know what other people are thinking. They're probably, that aren't in tune to that or whatever, probably just thinking, okay, these people all need help, and I wouldn't bother listening to these shows or anything if I didn't have my own experiences. But yeah, we just, like I said, I probably gave him the worst hell out of everybody about this owl, and whenever I'd see him and he'd leave from a house after that, I'd be like, hey, don't let the 4-foot owl get you. And sometimes he'd give me an FU. He never brought it up. He never wanted to talk about it again. He just told us one day, like, when he came in my buddy's house, and I just didn't believe it. But fast forward to 2007, I'm cutting through the woods to go to that same friend's house, and I actually got chased by a dog in early March, like really early March, and then was like basically treed until the owners called it off, me and another guy. And 2 weeks later, we're doing the same damn fucking thing, going, pardon my language, we're going right through that same trail or whatever, and it's probably 9, 10 o'clock, somewhere around there, and it's 2 weeks into March, so you could see pretty good through the woods. There wasn't nothing really growing yet. There was no leaves blocking, no leaves on the trees at all, just the leaves that you were like stepping on in the woods on the trail from the previous year. And I'm actually first as we're walking. My buddy's probably 5-6 feet behind me walking, and like I said, all our friends, a lot of time on these dead end streets, live close, so we cut through here and there. So this isn't something that I did once. I mean, I've done it a million times, and it's just like I've never seen an owl bigger than a foot tall. And while we're cutting through this little like ravine dip or whatever, before we get to it, there's an incline that goes down to the ditch. I hear a diving board noise. And since there's no leaves or anything, it echoes and sounds pretty loud. And I stopped dead in my tracks because I'm just like, man, nobody. I thought there was one in-ground pool close to that area that was fenced in, and that, like, off of this little patch of woods in this neighborhood. But I was thinking, nobody's swimming at this point, like, this coldly. I mean, it was warm out, but it was still, the ground was chilly, whatever, because it was March. And I started scanning everywhere behind me, around me, and I couldn't find the source of the wooden diving board noise, but that's what initially got me to stop. And my buddy stopped walking because we're walking on leaves, and I'm just trying to listen, and I'm not even paying attention to what he's doing. I'm just trying to like figure out what we just heard or what's happening. And I finally, behind him, off in like the distance from where we just came from that we passed, I didn't notice if it was sitting there or it appeared there later and did this, but I wasn't really looking up. I don't remember if we were even talking, like saying anything to each other, because we were just cutting through the woods. I think we were worried about the dog that was going to come through the woods again, because we hear this raccoon walking on the dead leaves, and we instantly stopped in our tracks. And when we did, that's when the diving board noise happened. But initially there was a raccoon like scurrying away from us, which wasn't a threat, and we're like, thank God it ain't. We thought it was this pit bull dog that tried to get us 2 weeks before that, so we were like kind of on edge, but we weren't expecting this. But yeah, after the wooden diving board noise, and I see this branch that's probably easily 30 foot long, and it's like one of the main big branches, like the first one on a big oak. And I realized that this branch is just still whipping. The end of it's making the whipping noise. The middle of it's still bouncing up and down. And I'm thinking, man, I don't even know if I could climb up there and jump off that tree and make the branch shake like that. And I'm just confused. I'm thinking bobcat, even though there's no bobcats in our town. They're probably spotted 50 miles away, maybe 40. But that's the only thing that rationally came to my mind was, okay, a bobcat jumped out of a tree, and this is it. It's on the ground somewhere. It's getting ready to attack us. So I'm like trying to, I guess, be the one that's looking out for us or whatever. And my buddy's like oblivious to like, yeah, he sees the branch, I think, but like he isn't putting it all like anything through his mind or whatever. So while we're standing around, we don't see anything. So I kind of like give up and I'm just like, that's weird. So I turn around and I start walking down, getting ready to walk down this dip of this incline to jump over this little like 2-3 foot creek. And as I'm coming down the beginning of this incline, I'm still kind of looking around because I'm just like I said, we were on edge, but after the diving board noise and seeing this branch, I just didn't know what to think. And then I start to see up in like the left corner a little bit of movement. So I kind of stop and I look up in the treetops and I just see a black mass. And then after that, I'm just like a deer in the headlights. I'm like, what am I even looking at? And then as it comes through these treetops with no leaves, it just looks like a black ball with 2 eyeballs. And as the eyeballs are getting closer, I could see that they were yellow with black centers. And they had to at least been. And I heard you guys' episode about this, and I was like, wow, that person probably seen what I seen, because its eyes were at minimal, at least the size of a baseball, if not maybe softball size eyeballs. And I'm just, my brain's turned off as far as like threat mode, because I'm just not believing what I'm seeing as it's coming towards me down through, like it's coming at like maybe like a 70, 75 degree angle through these branches, but it's coming to me. And my buddy, I don't even look back to like see him yet or anything, because I'm just in this mode, I guess, of not believing what I'm seeing. So as it's like everything goes into like millisecond slow motion, thank God. I don't know if it was like something that helped me or what, but these eyeballs got bigger, and as they came down to me, I could see that there was black rings around the eyeballs, and the black rings were at least around as like a volleyball, and they were an inch or 2, maybe 3 wide off the eyeball, so it had black circles.
And there you go. A giant owl, right? Now, some people claim that when you see a giant animal like that, specifically owls for some reason, that it's really an extraterrestrial disguising itself as an owl. Now, I don't know why they choose the shape of the owl more than other animals, but they do. And some people theorize it's because the similarities in the shape of their almond-shaped eyes. I don't know. But a very cool story. I got another one for you. Justin calls in from Wyoming. It's got a pretty cool story. It's similar to mine, about a missing toy as well as a strange triangle-shaped UFO. Let's take a listen.
Hey, guys. My name's Justin Mackey. I'm from Casper, Wyoming. I'm a retired police officer. I was listening to your podcast about having your football just kind of magically appear and drop out of nowhere, and it made me think about a house I used to live in. I was on Sunflower Street in Casper, Wyoming. I moved around a lot through the oil field, but I was young back then. So that's where we lived. And I was going through my toys, just as a preface, like this house that we lived in was the most haunted house I've ever lived in my life, close to a old battlefield. But I was going through my toys, and I had like one of my Star Wars figures out, and I was literally tossing it back into the toy box where I kept all that stuff. And as I tossed it, it literally vanished in front of my eyes. No sound, no hit, never hit the ground, just gone. Thing just disappeared into nowhere. Never seen anything like it in my life. That house, I mean, balls of light would shoot through the walls, like basketball size, blue lights shooting through the walls. Thermostats would turn up and down over the old crank ones. This is in the 1980s where you had to turn them. They just turn up and down in the middle of the night. Shadow people walking down the hallways. The dogs wouldn't go into the hall. They'd just sit there and bark at the edge of the hallway. Tons of other crazy stuff happened in there too, but very near a battlefield where a bunch of cavalry were killed and pushed into the river by the Native Americans. But I just heard your story about that football, and it made me think about me tossing my favorite Stormtrooper figure and having it disappear and never reappear. So you guys have a great time. Thank you for the show. I appreciate listening to it all the time. Bye.
I just was going to tell you a couple different stories. All of them happened in Wyoming, Casper, Wyoming. I believe it was August of 2007 in Casper, Wyoming. And it was nighttime. It was probably about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And I had gone outside. I smoked back then, and I had gone outside to water my plants because it was hot, and I didn't want to burn them, but I wanted to give them a little bit of water. And I was having a cigarette watering my plants. It just so happened there was a fire that had been going on the west side of Casper Mountain. It had been burning pretty bright, and you could see the glow off to the west. And so I'm out there, you know, watering my plants and stuff and just kind of looking up at the stars. And then out of nowhere, I see this triangle-shaped object appear in the sky. But it was reflecting, I believe, the light from the fire on the mountain, because it was just stars before, now nowhere. And it's just going totally silent, totally slow. And I mean, it was probably, I would have to guess at least 100 feet by 100 feet on this, equilateral triangle. And it almost looked like a lava lamp as it was going overhead, and it was going low. And it was swirling, this swirling pattern. It looked kind of like fire when you see fire. And I looked over to the west, and I looked back up at it, and I was like, this thing is reflecting the fire. And by the time that thought left my mind, it turned completely back into stars again. And I was just blown away just standing there. I couldn't even believe what I had just seen. And I'm only about 170 miles from Warren Air Force Base. So I thought, man, maybe this is some new technology that we have that, you know, it's like a new kind of stealth bomber or something like that. Never did know what it was, but I just thought, you know, it was really interesting. It seemed to warp the light around it. But I've heard a lot of the black triangle stories where they've got the balls of light. There were none of those. It was completely, I would have never have seen it if it weren't for just a few seconds of that reflection kind of hitting it. So thought I'd tell you guys another story. Take it easy, fellas.
There you go. Thank you, Justin, for calling in. Really appreciate the stories. The toy specifically, I had an experience very similar to that, and it does make you think more about parallel dimensions and slips in time. Kelsey called in with a pretty frightening story of possible alien abduction. Check it out.
Hey, guys, this is Kelsey. The story takes place in Drayton Valley, Alberta. I'm fine with you keeping that in. It's not a big deal. I'm on the Facebook page anyway. But here's my story of an alien abduction, I believe, when I was a child. So the story takes place between 2003 and 2005, probably. I can't remember fully, but I was a young kid. One night, me and my mom were watching a movie in her room. It was, I know this is stupid, but it was Godzilla and his son. I don't know why that's important, but I just remember that movie. And then before I knew it, we were asleep. I don't remember falling asleep. I just know that I was asleep. Then I woke up and I couldn't move. So I try to like move, but nothing's happening. And then I could see something out of the corner of my eye, and I look, and it is a gray, a typical gray alien, probably about 5 feet. I start to freak out, obviously, and before I knew it, I'm trying to struggle to move, and I actually do move, and I kick it. I kick this gray. But when I kick it, I can feel cold rubber, and it sways a bit, but doesn't actually move too much. And when I do this, it looks upset. Like, it looks like it's mad at me. So I am just kind of staring at it, and it's just staring at me. And then I'm out again. I'm asleep again. The next thing I remember is I am in my backyard, looking up at the sky, and I can see the craft. The craft is your basic triangle-shaped craft, lights on each point, and it's humongous. Like, it's like football fields wide. So after that, I am asleep again, and it's the morning, and I'm back in my house. I obviously am freaked out. I just think it's a dream, just a really bad dream, and I never talk about it again. So a couple years go by. I'm probably in my 20s, early 20s, and me and my mom are talking about spooky stuff. We're talking about paranormal stuff. And I tell her this story, and it absolutely terrifies her, because she told me when she was younger herself, she was taken as well by aliens. So that's the story. Hope you can use it. You guys are doing great work. Talk to you soon. Bye.
There you go. Thank you, Kelsey, for calling in. Next up, Gary calls in with something he sees in the sky, like a sky amoeba. Cam and his daughter had a crazy sighting a couple years ago of something they saw in the sky. Now, they're not claiming it was cryptid or anything. He doesn't know. It could be just a bag for all we know. Not a trash bag, Duende, but something else. But check this story out.
Hi, my name is Gary, and I live in New Haven, Connecticut. And it was December 7th, 2008, at about 10:30 at night, you know, on the East Coast. And I was just doing some stargazing on the Chapel Street Bridge. And this yellowish apparition kind of started floating in the sky out of nowhere. And I started yelling at it, you know, here I am, I'm here. And it came to me, but it came to me in a zigzag motion. You know, it would come directly south and then float to the east, directly south, float to the east, and then till it was floating over my head. But when it got over my head, it wasn't this yellowish apparition anymore. It was, I'm looking into a black hole. It was kind of like an amoeba form all around it. I was terrified. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then when that calmed down a little bit, I asked, what are you? And then I thought to myself, should I run inside and hide under the chair? And that's when it started going away in that zigzag pattern. But now it was back to the yellowish apparition, you know? And I was petrified, man. But they are real. And it was huge, by the way. When it was floating toward me, I thought it was kind of like a ghost or something, but no, it was more like an amoeba. You can see the black hole in the, like, Leto files. He has something from Ukraine where, you know, they have them floating over in the sky, and then this plant abundance is getting a lot of videos because he has a special camera, but it's real. And then, of course, Trevor James Constable was taking photos decades ago. And I was lucky enough to catch a show on the History Channel about atmospheric anomalies. So it brought me into a whole new belief system. It really changes you. And, of course, I was mocked and, you know, going out with my friends, and I would tell a story to someone and, oh, yeah, you know, come on, don't do that, Gar. But Anyways, they're letting their presence be known. It's kind of, I don't know, it's frightening. The thing didn't harm me, though. That's the whole, I guess, the whole thing. Anyways, thanks for listening. Bye.
There you go. Thank you, Gary. Crazy stories. I really like it, especially when callers come in and tell their own stories, because here in the show, I'm always the one telling the stories. So is Cam. So it's nice to sit back and listen to others share creepy stories. I appreciate it. Let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some slips in time. Stay with me, folks. I'm Kyle Filson, and this is Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of my favorite subjects, as well as everyone who listens to the show, that we've ever discussed here on Expanded Perspectives, are the strange stories surrounding bizarre time anomalies, or in other words, time slips, as they're often referred to. Now, we get hundreds of emails every week, and I'd have to say that a good portion of them are for us to do more time slip stories. Well, that's where we run into a little bit of difficulty. I would love to. The problem is, there just aren't that many to report on. You can go all over the internet, and lots of times you will find the same ones over and over. People are posting these same time slip accounts just on various websites and blogs and things. And so it's real hard to find a new one. But I agree. I love the stories of time slips. Now, every once in a while, a listener will email us their time slip experience. But, you know, so we have to wait months and months in order to collect enough of these reports in order to do a new show on them. That's why it seems like it might be a year and a half sometimes before we ever do another show on time slips. But I'm impatient. I know that you are too. But today, that's what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about a few stories sent in by our listeners and a few new cases that I found on the interweb. Now, first off, if you're not familiar with time slips, you're in for a real treat. Now, of course, time itself, you know, is an interesting thing. It's probably the most important resource to all of us. And when you're young, you typically don't have any money. And then, when you're old, you've got plenty of money, but now you're too old to do anything. That's the problem with time, you know? Like, you want to go and travel the world. You want to have these adventures. But when you're a young person, you really don't have the finances to do it. And for most of us, by the time you retire, now you've got a little bit of financial flexibility, but now you're too old. Your joints are too old. You can't go base jumping when you're 78 years old. I mean, that's ridiculous. And so time is one of those precious resources that always seems to run out. You know, you can buy lots of things in this world, but you cannot buy time. You know, when you're 10 years old, it seems like an entire year takes forever to go by. That's why summers seemed really long when you were a kid. And of course, when you're like 40, a year goes by so fast, it feels like only a few months have expired. That's because I think it's all relative. You know, to a 10-year-old, a year is a tenth of their life. But to a 40-year-old, it's only a 40th. But what about time travel, Kyle? Now, some believe that it's possible, and some believe that it's already been achieved.
perhaps even by the Nazis. Now, you're familiar with the De Glock, or the De Glock, or more commonly referred to as the Nazi Bell, which was apparently a time machine built and tested near the Czech border and looks disturbingly similar to the UFO crash near Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. But that's for another show. Perhaps the Nazi scientist figured out how to time travel. Or maybe, just maybe, all of the UFOs people have been seeing over the years are not extraterrestrials, but they're us, human beings from the future, on a time machine coming back to see what the world looks like in 2019. Now, I know, if I knew that time travel was possible and available to me right now, I'd love to go back to ancient Egypt and observe from an elevated platform the construction of the Great Pyramids, or perhaps Chichen Itza in Mexico, or various other places, Atlantis, you know, the Library of Alexandria, the list goes on and on. Some scientists actually believe that time travel might be possible, at least theoretically, but our current knowledge of science simply can't achieve it. But what if nature somehow could and does? You see, time slips are paranormal events in which people on their own, or sometimes even as a group, inexplicably travel through time by unknown means and for unknown reasons. That's why they're so interesting. So without further ado, let's begin. This first one is called a baby monitor time warp. And it goes like this. As usual, the long workday was coming to an end, and I was dutifully putting the last load of laundered clothes away in our bedroom when I heard a ruckus on the baby monitor just a few feet away from me. I thought it was strange when I knew my husband and toddler were both in the living room, quietly watching TV, as my two-year-old drifted silently off to sleep, curled in my husband's lap as he watched the evening news. The bedroom door was straight in front of me, and I could see all the way down the hall to my husband and son in the lazy boy chair as this ruckus over the monitor continued. I didn't know what it was, and it didn't take me long to realize the sounds were very familiar. Now, earlier in the day, I was in my toddler's bedroom putting a load of folded clothes into the drawers, and I picked up some stray toys and books that weren't being played with at the time. As I was doing so, I was telling my son about the story of Jack and the Beanstalk for the very first time. Now, I stood in disbelief as I heard the drawers being pulled open and shut and the rustling of toys and books being put into their proper places. But I nearly fainted when I heard my son's voice over the monitor. I kept looking back and forth at my husband and now sleeping son in the chair in the living room and the monitor sitting on my dresser that was literally replaying the specific events from earlier in the day. The monitor is a standard baby monitor, bought from Walmart, and is not, I repeat, not a recorder, but instead monitors the sounds coming from the room as they are happening in real time only. Now, I listened very closely as my voice retold the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, and I listened with familiarity as my son responded in baby talk to the tale he had never heard before. The most incredible part was this all happened 5 hours earlier on the same day. I quickly called my husband into the room as he listened to the last part of the story with my voice coming through the monitor and our son's coos and chuckles. He just stood there stunned, turned his head and looked at our sleeping son, flopped peacefully over his shoulder. In disbelief, he asked me, "How in the hell?" As his voice drifted off, trying not to miss a thing, I just stared at him in the same disbelief, and we both just shook our heads. This has never happened before or since, and became pretty clear from the beginning that we were listening to some kind of warp in time. I never imagined in a million years that I would be the witness to it, and I must admit, if it should happen to you, it is indeed one of the most incredible moments one can ever experience. Sherry N. Wow, that's pretty strange. Check out this next one. It's called Dimension Shift in Tacoma, and it goes like this. I was walking in downtown Tacoma, Washington, one evening around 9 o'clock. I was on my way to meet a friend at a certain intersection. The year was 1976, and I was enlisted in the U.S. Army and was stationed at Fort Lewis. I remember it, was the month of April. As I was walking, I started wondering what time it was. So, I looked around for the nearest store where I could find out the time. I looked across the street, and there was a walk-in movie theater. I figured that was as good a place as any. Then the weirdest thing happened. I started to cross the street, and the next thing I knew, my vision was clearing up, and I was standing in front of the ticket counter inside the theater lobby. I had a ferocious headache, and my legs felt very unsteady. I recovered a little, but that headache was something else. I bowed and started rubbing my forehead. After a minute or so, I heard a gasp. I looked up, and there was this pretty girl on the other side of the counter with a surprised look on her face. She asked me, "How did you get in?" With the throbbing pain in my head, I looked at her and I didn't know how to answer her. I felt confused. I started to walk toward the counter and she backed away. Now she had a scared look on her face. She asked me again how I got in. I looked up at the wall behind her and there was a clock hanging there. I started to mutter, What time is it? She then told me I had better leave or she was going to call the police. I felt so weird. It's very hard to explain. I felt like I had broken through into a territory I didn't recognize. I stood there for a few minutes. That's when the girl went into the back room. I could hear her talking to someone. I turned around and started to walk towards the entrance. That's when this big guy came out of the back room. He walked around the counter, and before I could say anything, grabbed me by my arm and pulled me towards the entryway. He then unlocked the door and shoved me outside. He told me to get out of there, and then he went back inside. I stood at this point, couldn't figure out what was going on. I just stood there, looking around, rubbing my eyes, and holding my still hurting head. Then it dawned on me. The time on the clock read past midnight. I looked back at the theater. It had the closed sign on the front door. The girl and the guy were still there looking at me. Then the big guy opened the door again and warned me that if I didn't leave that instant, he was going to kick me in the butt. So I started to walk away, still confused. And as I was walking, I heard the guy say, "I don't know how you got inside with the door being locked, but you better not ever come back." The headache eventually went away, and I never did get to meet my friend, Gary Spring. Wow, that was interesting. It's like the guy jumped forward in time. See, that's the interesting thing about time slips is you don't always go back in time. Although I seem to like those stories the best, sometimes people fast forward. Sometimes things keep reoccurring on like what seems like a loop. I love them all. Let's get to this next one. This one says it all began when Rick and I were going to a friend's house last September. We were driving Rick's beat up old truck and the drive went smoothly for the first 45 minutes. Suddenly, the truck's engine died, and Rick and I were stranded on a deserted highway in the middle of the night. We were surrounded on both sides of the road by cornfields that stretched out into the distance. Rick began a desperate effort to restart the truck and fix the broken engine. He tried to fix the truck in vain, but nothing seemed to work. Rick finally gave up, and we decided to walk to the nearest town, which I think was about 2 miles away, in order to find a payphone to call our friend. This was before the invention of cell phones. We walked for what seemed like hours, and the town was nowhere in sight. However, just when desperation was about to grip us, we saw a light. A gloriously bright light, shining over the steep hill ahead of us. We ran up the steep hill that blocked us from the light and were flabbergasted by what we saw. Just over the hill, Rick and I saw what could only be described as a futuristic city, with lights streaming out of every window of the massive metallic towers. And in the middle of this futuristic city was a huge silver dome. I just stared at the city, stunned, until Rick elbowed me, which pulled me out of my trance, and he pointed to the sky. Hovering above the city were hundreds of what looked like hovercraft. One flew towards us with at amazing speed. And Rick and I were so scared that we took off running back to the broken-down truck. I never looked back, but I felt someone watching me the entire way. When we finally got back to the truck, it started without any difficulty, and Rick and I just took off as fast as we could in the opposite direction. We never went back or spoke of it again to this day. But I still have to wonder what me and my boyfriend Rick saw that evening. I mean, this giant futuristic-looking city in the middle of nowhere. Hope you enjoyed the story, Daisy. Wow. Another interesting time slip. I don't know if it was a time slip or like some type of hallucination. You know, and when it comes to time slips, this is often a case with alien abduction, where people are driving home for whatever reason, their car stops working, it stalls out on the side of the road, and then they don't really remember anything. And then hours later, they wake up, their car starts just fine, and they notice that 4 or 5 hours have gone by. Or sometimes they were driving down a road and they end up 30 miles down from where they last remember, and it's several hours later. You know, so sometimes they even end up in different spots. So, you know, some of the time slip stories, just like the one I just read, you know, that could have been possibly an alien abduction. Maybe what they saw wasn't a futuristic city, but was like a giant UFO. You know what I mean? Like, if you've ever seen the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, some of those UFOs, you know, they kind of look like a disc UFO with a city growing out of the top of it. You know, maybe that's what they saw. I don't know. Check out this next one. This says, my husband and I live in the deep woods of East Texas near a tiny place called Mount Sylvan. I have been having some medical tests done at a hospital nearby when this event occurred. I went for testing 3 days in a row, always with the same routine. I parked in the same small parking lot, walked through the double doors leading to the first floor cardio testing area, turned right at the gift shop, and signed in at the desk. I always exchanged some casual conversation with the same young and very pleasant blonde receptionist. There was a small sitting area across from her desk, with a door leading to the blood drawing lab right behind her cubicle. The door to the lab was always open, and the sight of patients sitting in the exact type of chairs, even the same color, that I saw my late mother sit in for her chemotherapy treatments was just too gut-wrenching. I even heard a patient in the lab comment on the new chairs, and a nurse replied that the hospital's oncology department had donated them. I decided to sit across the hall anyway. Now, last Friday, my husband went back to the hospital with me to hear the test results. He had never been there before. The usual routine. We parked, we walked in, we turned past the gift shop, and there was no check-in area. I stood and stared in total shock. No desk, no chairs, no blonde receptionist. And the door to the lab was on a totally different wall. The other sitting area was just as it was before. I started to walk up and down the hall searching for my check-in area, but it was nowhere to be seen. A doctor walked by, and he noticed my confusion and asked me, you know, what was I looking for? When I told him that the place I had checked in for my test was missing, he laughed and said that it had been moved to the second floor 3 years earlier because they needed more space. So, what did I see? Did I experience some kind of time warp where I actually saw the lobby the way it was 3 years prior? I don't know. Keep up the good work, Mel. Man, I love these stories. You know, it's crazy, right? So she was in a lobby doing the same routine over and over, and it always appeared. And when she couldn't find it, they told her that, oh, that's the way it used to be 3 years ago. So how was she going in and doing these blood tests week after week, you know, and always experiencing it in a different way, a time that it was 3 years ago to this most recent trip with her husband? Man, it's so bizarre. And that's what makes them so interesting. Check this one out. It says, my mother, Eula White, was born in October 1912. She grew up in rural Alabama and Florida in the 1920s. She told a lot of stories of the people and the events of those days. Most of them are interesting, but they were pretty much ordinary events. But one day, she told me a story of an unusual event that she had directly experienced as a young girl, along with about a dozen other women and children. I remember this event well, even after all these years, she told me. And she said it was precisely because it was so unusual. She told me that in those days, rural Alabama was still kind of backward. Little electricity and horses and wagons were the only transportation for many of the farm folk. I remember it was a bright summer day, Early that morning, the other women and I had gathered on the front porch of the Hawkins farmhouse to quietly prepare a few bushels of peas and beans for preserving, and we loved to talk as we worked. The younger children were playing in the yard. That's when Mr. Hawkins came out on the porch and told Miss Hawkins that he was going to town on business. Mr. Hawkins saddled his horse, and as he rode through the big gate directly on the front porch, Miss Hawkins reminded him to bring home a big sack of flour. He answered to her with a grunt and rode off. Well, fast forward a little bit, and about mid-afternoon, we were still on the porch shelling peas. We looked up and saw Mr. Hawkins approaching the house. The road leading to the house came off the main road and was about 300 feet long, and it ran directly up to the porch, so we could see him coming quite clearly. Thrown across the saddle in front of him was a large white cloth sack of flour, and cradled in his left arm was a brown bag of other groceries. We watched as he rode up to the gate, and as he stopped there, waiting for someone to open it, one of the boys ran to the gate and opened it for him. Then, in full view of all of us women and children, Mr. Hawkins vanished. He just disappeared. I mean, instantly. We sat there for a second or so, just astonished, looking back and forth at each other, looking back at the gate, you know, thinking to ourselves, man, did you see that? Then, terrified, we began screaming. And after a few moments, we calmed down, but we were still shaking and confused. We just didn't know what to do. So, after a while, we went back to shelling peas. But all of us, the children too, huddled up there on that porch, afraid. Miss Hawkins eventually made one of the boys go close the gate. About a half hour later, we looked up again and saw Mr. Hawkins riding toward the house with that same white sack of flour across the saddle in front of him and that same brown bag of groceries in his left hand. Again, he rode up to the gate without a sound and then just stopped. None of us had the nerve to open the gate. We were all just too afraid to move. We just sat there staring at him, waiting to see what would happen next. Would he disappear again? We didn't know. Finally, after a few minutes to our relief, Mr. Hawkins spoke. Well, is someone going to open this damn gate for me? Mr. Hawkins' mother said, got there before he arrived. That's the only way she'd explain it to me. She said that her and the other women and the children saw Mr. Hawkins somehow get to the gate before he actually arrived. And that's all she said about it. She's dead now, and I often think back to that story. I mean, I asked her about it a few times, but she never really had a better explanation than that. Like she saw a glimpse of something that was going to happen, but hadn't really happened yet. Thanks for the show, Stephanie. Wow. You know, that's a common thread in these time slips, is someone doesn't actually experience a time slip themselves, but they see almost someone else experiencing it. And to me, that's what this story, you know, reminds me of. These women and these children, they saw Mr. Hawkins having a time slip almost. Like, they saw an image of what was going to happen. I wonder, you know, if you could talk to him, if he experienced anything strange. You know, back then people were much quieter than they are now. Now, if something happened, we'd be posting it all over social media. But, you know, I wonder if he experienced it or if it was only for them. I don't know, but that's one of the cool things about time slips is it's not always experienced just by one person. It's often groups of people, you know, like a group of people going on a trip somewhere, or a husband and wife and their children going on an adventure or a camping trip, or, you know, or, you know, something like that, a road trip. And that's when they experience it. So that's what I like about it, is there's often people to corroborate the story. Let's check this one out. It says, I swear this is a true story. My husband was carting wheat in the summer of 1994. He was outside Molong in New South Wales, Australia, and drove past a for sale sign on a farm gate along with the agent's details. Our 12-year-old son was with him, and on the return journey, they stopped. They climbed through the fence and walked up the circle-shaped drive to have a closer look at the old farmhouse. He said he could see through the window and found the old house old, decrepit, and abandoned. Well, on his return home a few days later, we rang up the agent and asked for further details about the property, as we were thinking about possibly purchasing it. The agent was confused and had no idea what we were talking about. and insisted that he had no properties for sale on that road. A week later, my husband and I drove to Molong to have a look at the farm ourselves. We drove up and down the whole road until we were almost to the next town. All that he could recognize was a water tank on the hill, a creek, and some trees where the house used to be. There was no gate, there was no driveway, there was no real estate sign, or a house. Well, as we were driving up and down the road over and over and over, one of the residents of a house along that route spotted us go back and forth several times. And being a concerned citizen, he came out and approached us at the road. He said, "Are you guys looking for something? Maybe I can help you with some directions." And my husband reluctantly told him what happened. And he said, "Did you say that old farmhouse that was right in this area?" My husband was like, "Yeah, that's exactly right." He said, "Man, I grew up here and that house hasn't been here for 30 years. Thanks for the show, guys. Keep up the great work. Susan." Wow. Again, this time, different from the last story, this person saw a glimpse. This reminds me of the hospital story of a house that used to be there. But I mean, it's crazy that it even had the real estate agent's number. It doesn't go into any more details that maybe the agent, you know, has been selling real estate for 50 years. I mean, it would have to be, right? And then the number would have to remain the same. But interesting story nonetheless. We got another one real quick before we get out of here and take the next break. Check this out. It's called Instant Replay. It's from Ryan Bratton, and it says, "This happened when I was about 8 years old. My friend and I were sitting on his yard while some kids rode their bikes down a downhill driveway. A car came down the road and stopped at a house. A kid got out and ran inside, making noises that kids around his age usually make. Then a girl rode her bike down the steep driveway. A couple of minutes after this happened, the same car went down the road, stopped at the house, and the same kid got out of the car and ran inside screaming the exact things he had been saying earlier. Then the girl went down the hill on her bike again. I looked over at my friend, and he said he had no idea what just happened. But I wasn't satisfied with that. I was like, 'Did you just see that happen twice in a row, exactly the same?' And he agreed. 'Yeah, I saw it. It was like instant replay. I have no idea if we experienced a time slip or not, but I just found it very interesting.'" Well, Ryan, I have to agree with you. It is interesting. Much like I alluded to earlier in the show, is like sometimes these time slips, it seems like it's a loop, replaying and replaying and replaying. I've heard of others, people, something very mundane, like they had just seen a school bus drive by, and then a few seconds later, they've seen the exact same school bus drive by. Or something like a particular bird land on a branch, make a particular noise, something unusual, fly off. And then a few minutes later, the exact same thing. The exact looking bird, exact movements, exact sound, everything. I don't know what that is. I wonder if time slips, or sometimes when you misplace some keys or something like that, and then a few minutes later, it's there. If that is all part of the same phenomenon. I don't know. I love time slips. It's time for a break. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I love Tales of Time Slips. It's one of my favorites. I love it. I can never get enough of it. It's so strange, but yet so cool at the same time. I know you're the same way. Before we get out of here, I got one more caller that I want to play. Eric had something truly terrifying happen to him when he was younger. Check this out.
Hello, guys. My name is Eric Yahoo. This took place in 1971 when I was 4 years old. My sister was eight. We lived in a two-bedroom small apartment with my mother and what I believed to be my father living there at the time, although they were separated. Now, a little backdrop is that both of them were heavily into drugs, which, of course, I wasn't aware of, and very much alcoholics. So we realized that this can open up portals and gateways and hurt people, especially innocents. And so my sister, who was eight and I was four, we were sharing this bed, and one morning I woke up and saw this green, scaly-like hand. Now, there was no internet, and I wasn't into horror movies at 4 years old, so I didn't have a frame of reference. But looking back, that's what it was. It was this green, kind of scaly, almost a typical demon hand with the very sharp nails coming up from the side of the bed that was pushed all the way against the wall. And of course, I jumped and probably screamed. And my sister woke up and saw it, and she screamed, and we jumped off the bed, and my parents came rushing in. And as we went to point, of course, it was gone. So it's short and sweet. Many things happened after that, more of the human kind of demons than supernatural, but those are different stories for a different time. We appreciate everything that you guys do, and I hope that people find solace in knowing that they're not alone and they're not crazy. The world is a very supernatural place, and not everything that you see is what's real. Remember, the world is much greater than we can possibly imagine. Thanks, guys. Founding success in all that you do. We will talk to you later. I have many other stories, but that one scared the heck out of me when I was a kid, and I still remember it to this day. I could almost draw it perfectly. All right, guys, take care.
There you go. The classic hand from under the bed, right? Everybody talks about this and the boogeyman under your bed or in your closet. For whatever reason, that archetype always seems to play out, a scary hand from underneath the bed. I don't know what's going on with that and why there's so many people have the similar happenstance happened to them, but it seems very, very common amongst children and nightmares and things like that. Very, very cool. If you want to call the show and tell us your story, we would love that. You need to call the number 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD. If you want more of Expanded Perspectives, don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. Head on over to patreon.com/expandedperspectivesElite, or you can just download the Patreon app on whatever device you're using and search for Expanded Perspectives Elite that way. Sign up, $5 a month. You're helping the show. You're getting more content. It is a win-win. I hope everybody out there has a wonderful weekend. Till next time, I'm Kyle. This is Expanded Perspectives. Peace.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.